present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello, and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us this week in the city of Norwich, which can rightly claim to be a place in Norfolk. Admiral Nelson was born in Norfolk. As a boy, he learned to handle boats and fished on the county's many waterways. Years later, while on leave, it's recorded he returned before going back to Lady Hamilton and giving her crabs he'd caught from the Norfolk Broads. Among the many famous names with Norfolk connections is American President Abraham Lincoln, whose great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather came from great-great-great-great-great-Yarmouth. The TV chef Delia Smith lives here and is a majority shareholder. Is a majority shareholder in Norwich City FC. The club has a history of employing gourmets. One chairman bought a case of fine wine, which was laid down to mature and to be opened only when Norwich won a major cup. How they're looking forward to that Chateau Lafite 1875. Britain's first stage magician of the modern age, Owen Henry Emmett, was born in Norwich. Learning his craft from the age of just 12, Emmett took a large circular saw and taught himself the cutting a lady in two illusion by practising on his sister. Well, actually, it was his half-sister. William Hill, the businessman who founded his chain of betting shops, retired to Norfolk in 1970, where he passed away on the 9th of November at 20 to 1. His wife had him on a win double with General de Gaulle. In 1933, Albert Einstein fled Nazi Germany and took refuge in Cromer. Albert Einstein proved that the further you travel out into space, the slower time will pass. But Einstein's not alone in fleeing an angry mob and making time stand still. Let's meet the teams. They are on my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Timbrook Taylor and Susan Kalman. And settling down and preparing to score, please welcome back the ever delightful Samantha. Okay, well, we start this week with our regular look at the Uxbridge English Dictionary. The English language has many useful words, but not everyone understands the meanings of apparently similar terms. For example, if you want to steer a boat, what's the difference between tillers and rudders? Well, it's quite simple. A tiller is a lever, usually made of wood or tubular steel, which is used to control the steering gear, while a rudder is what you squeeze on a cow when you're milking her. Word meanings are constantly changing. So, teams, let's hear any new definitions that you've spotted recently. Tim, you can start.
Aperitif. Dentures.
Barry?
Kindle. A book you can burn.
Graham?
O'clock. An Irish clock.
Susan?
Ballyleica, a fan of Swan Lake.
Leicester Shear. Why shearers like small sheep.
Pentecost. The price of underwear.
Miasma. The reason I carry an inhaler.
Antelope. An ant who runs away to get married. Cormorant, an ant who likes a mild curry.
Hispanic, fear of snakes.
Pe- PayPal, the Vatican system of donating online.
Tenor lady, a cheap date.
Obituary, Irish rudeness.
Ratchet, rodent droppings.
Well, teams are going to demonstrate the full range of their acting skills now in what we call the shortest round ever. And with that done, they're going to play sound charades. This was inspired by the old TV favourite Give Us a Clue, where teams used to mime the titles of books or films against a strict time limit. And the original version of this game was conducted in silence, but silent mime on the radio would have two problems, as it would be pointless and unfunny. So the teams are allowed to speak, giving it a third problem. The undisputed mime master of the genre was, of course, Lionel Blair. Who's had various careers since the 1950s, TV presenting, singing, dancing, telling jokes. Is there nothing he can do? Tim and Susan, you're to start, please, and your title will shortly be displayed to the audience via the laser display screen. And for listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
The Archer's Omnibus. The Archer's Omnibus.
So off you go, please, Tim and Susan.
This is radio, and it's three words, and it goes like this.
My Lord of Essex, are the bowmen yet to come to Tilbury in readiness to sail for Agincourt?
Not quite yet, Your Majesty. I believe there hath been some issues of transportation. The horse and carriage service to Tilbury hath been disrupted.
What, no longbowmen? Is there nothing to be done?
Well, as it happens, Your Highness, the southeastern carriages have undertaken to provide a replacement coach service with the express purpose of transporting the bowmen to battle.
A replacement coach service for the bowmen?
Yes, my lord.
We shall have to think of a name for that.
Indeed, Your Highness.
Sorry, I wandered off there.
The Archer's Omnibus.
Right, well, it's your turn, Barry and Graham, and your title's now being exhibited on the board. And here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Ben-Hur. Ben-Hur.
Yeah, right. This one is... I think this was a book, too, but it was a film, famously.
Two words.
Two words. And it goes like this. Hamish! Yeah.
Dougal, you'll have had your tea.
Well, no, I've just been for a wander through Glen Hoddle. And then, then I took a brisk jog up Ben Kingsley.
I see, that's put colour in your cheeks. I could lend you a longer kilt.
No. It keeps me cool. No. Next stop, the Nameless Mountain.
Have you not heard?
What?
The Nameless Mountain has been bought by millionaire Jim Mackay, and he's naming it after his wife, Helen.
Ooh, Mount Mrs. Mackay.
Well... they decided against that one for obvious reasons. No, Helen's Crag didn't meet with favour either.
So, Mrs. Mackay's Twin Peaks?
Rejected. He wants a simple name.
Yeah, Helen Mackay.
Oh, and it'll be an adventure trail too.
Well, with a sign at the bottom, Helen Mackay, this way up.
Well, he finally settled on the simplest possible non-specific name. Look, I've written it down for you.
Non-specific. Oh, I see.
Yes.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Benz.
Benz.
If we go on saying Benz.
Benz.
Shorten it
Ben
slightly.
Benny Hill.
Ben.
Good try.
Ben-Hur. Yeah.
It's now time to play the game called Mornington Crescent. First, I noticed from the postbag that while we were off the air, nearly all the letters that flooded in came from Somerset. So the ink has washed off. But we can read this one, which came from a Mrs. Trellis of North Wales. And Mrs. Trellis writes, "Dear Eddie Mayer, here's my favourite sound for your PM programme listeners' favourite sound feature. It's my radio off switch. Click." Yours silently, Mrs. Trellis. Okay, and on with the game, which this week is Leapfrog Mornington Crescent, which means that whenever a player scores a Huffington, play leapfrogs the next player and goes straight back to the Huffington player's teammate. You don't need me to explain how Huffingtons are scored, so off you go, please, Tim.
Euston.
I can... No, that's leapfrog. Euston Square.
Yeah.
You obviously know nothing about this game. You can do it, go.
I'm not from London, I'm just...
Well, nor are the people here.
I just wanted to... Gant's Hill.
I have to say, that is good.
Yes, well done, well done.
Yes, well done indeed.
Arnos Grove.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a Huffington, isn't it?
No, not on a grove, no.
Yeah.
Sure about that?
I'm quite sure, thank you very much.
Cheyne Walk.
Oh, come on, that is Huffington.
Yeah, that is definitely.
No, that's Huffington.
Right. You can't leapfrog on a walk.
You're overruling...
Well,
leapfrogs. Where does the
Barry? We either play by the rules or we don't. And if we don't play by the rules, the whole thing becomes meaningless.
Oh boy, Cheyne Walk, Knightsbridge,
Embankment.
Very good. Sure. No, very good.
Yeah.
And a girl.
Yep.
Elephant or Castle.
Well, that's definitely Huffington.
No.
It is, if you do the Or Castle.
It's not a full Huffington.
No.
But I can give you a semi.
Well, thank you very much.
Sort of a Huffington, isn't it, really?
The Huffington.
Queensway.
Kill.
Kingsway.
Oh, don't.
She's going to do it. No, listen. No, I'm not saying I've got it, but...
I think you have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she has.
Oh.
Go for it.
Same.
Go for it.
Shame, buddy.
Farringdon.
Oh. Yeah, she had got it. Piccadilly.
Mornington Crescent.
Oh, damn. Ah.
Well played, Susan, making it possible for Tim like
absolutely,
that.
It's
quite
absolutely.
Incredible. Well, the next round is the advice section of the programme. This is where the teams provide solutions to listeners' problems, which in the past have focused on relationships. Statistically, for every person who's lucky enough to find a life partner, there's another who never does. And that's true even amongst those of us here. For example, while Barry Cryer has been happily married for over 40 years, his wife hasn't. OK, teams, I have here a selection of listeners' questions for you to answer. Graham, you can be the first to answer, please. I often realise that I've forgotten to enclose something in an envelope after I've sealed it. Is there a simple way to add the thing I've forgotten to enclose without wasting the envelope?
Well, I would reply, but you don't seem to have enclosed your question.
LAUGHTER It's actually you place the envelope in the freezer for an hour or two, and the envelope will unseal without a trace. That's what you should do.
Oh, no, exactly.
Tim, how about this? There are four unsightly dents in my carpet where a heavy armchair used to sit. Is there anything I can do about them?
Yes, conceal them with the heavy armchair.
Anyway, if you really want to know, it's you put ice cubes in each indentation, let the cubes slowly melt, then bring a blow dryer onto it and make it dry, and then you can comb it up. it fluffs up. It does. I've met people in pubs who talk like that. Barry.
Yes.
My house suffers from low ceilings. Is there any way I can make them appear higher than they are?
Crouch.
Apparently, if you paint the ceilings a lighter shade than the walls, it makes them appear higher than they are. If you're particularly stupid and forgotten that's what you've done, it will trick you momentarily. Susan. Help, I've got a nasty splinter and I don't have any tweezers. Is there any way I can get it out?
What you could do is you could tie a piece of string around it, tie the string to a door handle, then slam the door.
Yeah. It's a splinter. I don't know what you do in Glasgow. But the answer here is actually you put sticky tape on to remove it, and you know, you can do
what?
That.
What?
Yeah. Okay. Well, here are some listeners' questions for any of you to have a go at. The tips have come off the ends of my shoelaces, and I'm finding it very difficult to thread them into the lace holes in my shoes. Is there anything I can do?
Get a life.
Or you can harden the ends of them with nail polish. That's what you do. A bit of nail polish will do the trick. I have recently experienced great difficulty opening my zipper. It's very stiff. Can you help?
I mean, what I would suggest is that you tie a piece of string around it. Tie the string to a door handle and then slam the door.
In fact, a bar of soap or a stick of lip balm will provide effective lubrication if you rub it along the teeth of your zipper. The tap on my sink keeps dripping, and it's most annoying. My granddad always said you could stop dripping with a simple piece of string. How so?
Well, your granddad probably tied the string around it, but that won't help with your tap.
It actually says you attach the piece of string to the tap, the drip will slowly and silently follow the string down to the drain. I'm actually going to try that. And finally, I have discovered a small leak in my car radiator. I'm nervous to drive it to the garage in case it overheats. Is there anything I can do at home to fix it?
Yes, you could get a dyke to put her finger in it.
Well, it's music time again with the team's singing version of Just a Minute. Colin, we need your piano playing. Colin, I hadn't finished. We need your piano playing like a hole in the head. It has to be said. And as the minute waltz fades away, please give a rousing Norfolk welcome to the four contestants. It is my privilege, my honour, my pleasure, and my delight to introduce, present and announce they are four comedians who are not only funny, hilarious, amusing, droll, witty and humorous, but unbelievably paid to be here. Susan, you are starting this one, and the song I'd like you to sing, without hesitation, deviation or repetition, is It Ain't What You Do, It's the Way That You Do It.
It ain't what you do, it's the way that one does it. It's not the actions, but the method you follow. It's the results aren't as important as...
Barry has challenged there, Susan, just as it was going so well. I can't Barry, he seems to have detected some flaw in the masterful way in which you tackled that very difficult song in the game that we love to play so much. And, Barry, a seasoned player of the game, a veteran of the game that we love to play so much. Barry, what was the nature of your challenge?
Well, there was a degree of hesitation, plus a slight repetition.
Well, I don't think there's any need to get sarcastic with it. Of course, there was a slight repetition and hesitation there, but Susan is new to the game that we love to play so much, whereas you are a veteran of the game that we love to play so much. It would perhaps be appropriate to just give her a little bit of leeway there, so I'm not going to uphold the challenge. However, the audience was so annoyed by the nature of your challenge that I'm now going to take away 10 points. As well as your belt and shoelaces. So it's back to you, Susan. With only 79 seconds to go. It ain't what you do, it's the way that you do it.
End results.
Graham has come in with a challenge very quickly there, just as you were about to start. Hardly had a chance there, but Graham, of course, a seasoned veteran of the player that we love to play so much, challenging Susan, who is a newcomer to the player that we love to play so much. What was the nature of your challenge, Graham? And please remember, this programme is being broadcast not just here, but in Her Britannic Majesty's United Kingdom of England and its colonies in Wales, Ireland and Scotland, but also in Greenland, Iceland, Poundland, Thailand, Tyrak, and Burnham Market. What was the seasoned nature of your challenge that we love to hear so much, Graham?
It was repetition of hesitation.
That's right. There was a repetition of a hesitation. Yeah, there are more than one hesitation, you're saying, are you, Graham? Well, she really, in fairness, hardly had time to repeat the hesitation. I grant there was one hesitation, but you're saying there were two, and I didn't hear two hesitations there, so I feel I'm not going to uphold the challenge. Susan doing so marvellously on her debut appearance on the game that we love to play so much. It's back to you, Susan, with 79 seconds left to go. The clock had hardly started last time. Susan Galman with 79 seconds left to go of whatever the song was that we were singing in the game that we love to play so much. It ain't what you do, it's the way that we do it. Susan.
And results aren't as important as showing your workings, and that's what'll get you there. Objectively following orders at doing it at the right time is great.
And Tim has challenged. Tim, what was the nature of your challenge there?
There was a bit of deviation, hesitation and repetition.
I'm not sure I noticed it anyway. Tim, a seasoned player of the game that we love to play so much, has been coming back for so many years now that he's quite frankly forgotten that he's no longer being invited. It is the game that we love to play so much, but I do feel that Susan was slightly unfairly challenged there. I don't think I can give that away. So it is back to Susan. Susan, of course, is from Glasgow, which is the city that I hail from. I actually come from Glasgow, which is I'm so able to do the Glasgow accent so accurately whenever I wish to dip in and in and out of it. I can, oh, hi, I can do the Glasgow accent, huge man. Donald, where's your trousers? That's Glasgow, my hometown. But anyway, enough of my acting skills. Susan, with only 78 seconds left to go, he's back to you, Susan, playing for the first time the game that we love to play. Tim has challenged there.
I thought there was just a tiny bit of hesitation.
In fairness, I think there was a hesitation there. I think bad luck there, Susan. You were so close there with
yeah.
it. You did go, but there was a little hesitation there.
I agree.
And Tim is a seasoned veteran of the game, and frankly, an old pedant. Which means it's very hard to get anything like that past him. So, now that you've ruined her fun, Tim, it's down to you with only 2 seconds left to go.
It's not the thing you're on about,
Tim. What's it? Oh, well, that means that Tim gets the points, but didn't they do very well? Well, it's very nearly the end of the show, but there is just time to fit in a round of the Builder's Songbook. Samantha has to nip off now. She's having a lot of work done on her house. Last week, there was a painter decorator downstairs and a roofer felter up in the loft. So while she's away, I'll ask the teams to suggest titles of songs likely to be popular with the building trade. You can start this one, Graham.
When RSJs are smiling.
Barry.
Putty woman.
Tim.
Tomorrow, I'll be back tomorrow. Yeah, right.
Susan.
When I saw her sanding there.
Stand by your van.
Where have all the pliers gone?
Twist and grout.
Ceilings. Whoa, 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 ceilings.
The Deadwood stage is heading over the hill, so bum crack away, bum crack away, bum crack.
Smells like white spirit.
You've lost that lovely ceiling.
The tiles, they are a-changing.
Smack my pitch up.
When I'm 6x4?
Well, it's very nearly the end of the show. All that remains is to take a look at the mystery object.
Oh.
Oh.
Gosh.
What is it?
And with that, it's the end of the show. So from the team, Samantha, myself and our audience here in Norwich, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Tim Brooke Taylor and Susan Kalman have been given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson and the producer was John Naismith.